Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister, is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an energy saver light bulb. And my very special guest is Richard Dolan, coming at us from the eastern seaboard of the United States, the Hurricane Sandy Hook epicenter. And I wanted to get that perspective from you now about abductions. There's so many stories about abductions out there. You know, my conclusion is, oh yeah, abductions are happening, and they're happening numerous times all over the place. Americans tend to talk about them a heck of a lot more because, you know, it's in freedom of speech and so on and so forth. But the rest of the world, they kind of hush up about it a little bit, you know. Like in Europe, for example, you start coming out and saying that you're a UFO abductee, people think you're fucking nuts. You have a hell of a lot more warm reception in the United States to this kind of information. And of course, this is where a lot of the major UFO conferences are held, of course, in the United States, because it's just got that kind of vibe, man. And what is your perspective on why people are being abducted? Are they aliens? Are they interdimensional entities? Or are they just, you know, military black ops dressed up in spacesuits and stuff like that, trying to freak people out and induct them into some kind of crazy MK Ultra mind control experiment?
Yeah, great question. Well, I think there are definitely abductions that do take place, and we have to ask ourselves who is behind them. I think there are definitely military abductions. In my opinion, this is something that does happen. But I am of the opinion that there are just too many of these encounters, and they're just not all military. And there's too much going. Let me give you a perfect example why I believe this is happening. First of all, you have a lot of literature. You've got a lot of research done by very well-known abduction researchers, going back to people like Bud Hopkins and John Mack and individuals today. But I myself have interviewed a number of individuals that I think were abductees. And I don't do hypnotic regression. I don't get into that much, but I'm a pretty good listener. I know how to keep someone calm, and I'm not bad at getting them to tell me what they remember as far as they can remember it. And here's something that I've noticed with all of these individuals, is that there are significant memory blocks that are put in there. Now, someone is doing this because they don't want these people to remember, but inevitably the memories come out. Two cases in point, I just want to emphasize how traumatic abductions are to people and why they're not a big joke. Like a lot of comedians and other people will make fun of this, and they shouldn't. I chatted on one occasion with a woman who I think is about 60, a science writer.
Could I interject here for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like making fun of a rape victim.
Absolutely, you know, it is.
It's not funny.
Because these are people who, I'll tell you two very quick stories here. In both cases, I was the first person that either of these individuals spoke to. It was a man and a woman. And it had been 30 and 40 years, respectively. And they just had lived with this experience, not knowing who to go to. In the case of the woman, she was about 60, a very intelligent, well-traveled person who is published, a published author. And she told me of an event that happened 40 years before, when she was about 20 years old, on a date with a guy. And she started hyperventilating within 5 minutes of telling me. She actually, her heart was racing. I had to tell her like 3 or 4 times, calm down, calm down, calm down. We had so many stops and starts of this interview. We finally got it done. And what ended up happening is that she had missing time from this experience. I think in her case, it was about 2.5 hours of missing time. And a more frightening one was in the case of this man that I spoke to. It was a truck driver, and he had an event that was 30 years before. By the way, that woman had many, many multiple experiences throughout much of her life. This truck driver was out fishing with some people late at night in Ohio. He was a young guy. And the last thing that he remembered with these three other people in their fishing boat was this bright light coming right down after it had been maneuvering. And then the next thing he remembered was the four of them standing on the shore screaming, seeing this huge disc-shaped craft above them, screaming, "It's coming for us." And then it takes off. And that's when they discovered they had three, I think possibly 4 hours of missing time. And this guy said, as they were going home, "If any of you ever discuss this, ever, I'll call you a liar, I'll deny it, because we are never supposed to talk about this ever." And as he was telling me the story, he said, "I have no idea, Richard, why I felt the need to do that, except that I think that they implanted some kind of like moral imperative inside me to make me never discuss this again, so that if he ever felt that he was even thinking of it, it was almost like committing a crime. You know, you just put it out." But somehow the memories leaked through. This is an intense, awesome capability that is being done to these people. I don't think all of these abductors are human military black ops. I think some may be. But we're talking about exotic technology, really, really off the charts. The last example, I don't want to just keep throwing one abduction story after another at you, but there was a famous case known as the Allagash abduction. Anyone who's familiar with the literature has heard of this. It took place in the 1970s. Four guys on a fishing trip in the state of Maine, which is all wilderness, lots and lots of wilderness. And these guys are out there for days. And the four of them had a very, very intense, profound experience. They did go through hypnotic regression. I know two of these guys personally, had very, very long conversations with them. And all I can say is their memories are clearly that of dealing with non-human entities aboard what can only be described as a kind of flying saucer craft. Now, is it a screen memory put in by human abductors? I suppose it's possible, but I would just ask, really? Like that well, that many times? It doesn't make any sense to me. What makes much more sense is that you've got others, whoever they are, they're not us. There are too many of these. And they're not all American stories. There are abduction stories from around the world. So if this is a U.S. black op, they're sure getting around. There have been a couple of surveys done by abduction researchers that seem to indicate this is a lot more widespread than people realize. Now, those are controversial conclusions. I will grant you that. But my own opinion is that there's a lot going on here that we're not acknowledging. That is pretty widespread. And I just don't think it's all human black ops. I think some of it is. And I think the reason that it is because some of these people are taken are persons of extreme interest. On one hand, certainly you might take them for reasons of counterintelligence. You want to find out what are these ETs doing, for example. Or maybe the aliens and the black budget people are taking these people for the same reason. Some of these people seem to have very good psychic gifts, for example. They seem to be of interest for one or another reason. And it seems to me entirely possible that the human black budget military is just as aware of these people with gifts as some of these, let's call them aliens, might be, if that's what they are. It's a crazy, crazy phenomenon. I mean, this is the fringe of the fringe. UFOs are fringe enough in our society. Abductions, people have to realize it took many, many, many years for researchers to even acknowledge that there were such things as alien abduction. It took a long time for researchers to come around to this idea. It's pretty entrenched now, but it took many decades.
Now, I wonder if that's true what you say, if they're looking for persons of interest, that would mean that both aliens and the black ops people have persons of interest of their own agendas, you know, their own persuasions. What is it that they're looking for? Okay, because I remember this movie, Eight-Legged Freaks, about giant spiders, and there's this section in it where there's a radio host in this small little town, and he's kind of like this crazy conspiracy guy or whatever, and he's like, "Let's talk about the anal probe. What are they looking for up there?"
Yeah. Right.
You know, and you know, it just reminded me of it now because it's like, what are they looking for?
Well, I think one agenda that I agree is happening is that of biological manipulation. probably the most famous researcher who's really hit this theme is David Jacobs. I know David. He lives in Philadelphia. He's written a number of books, interviewed and regressed a lot of individuals. It's his opinion that there is a program to develop a hybrid human-alien species to enable these other beings to live here on Earth without really much of a hassle. Because, I mean, you think about it on that level. If you and I were to go to another planet, it's unlikely that we would be able to walk around on the surface of that world. I mean, you've got different solar radiation, you've got different bacteria, all of these things. So you would want to maybe customize your species so that you could do that. That's what Jacobs believes. I think that there's probably something to that.
So are you saying it's kind of like a reverse Anunnaki type thing? Like Anunnaki came here and manipulated us to become a slave species, and now the aliens are coming here to kidnap people so that they can genetically manipulate themselves so that they can come here.
Yeah, good way to put it. I think that's probably how Jacobs would put it, or at least along those lines. I have a couple of personal problems with it. I don't find it that it's a perfect theory. One reason that I don't is because I have encountered a number of individuals who have themselves encountered human-looking beings that are not human, in my opinion. So, in other words, you don't need hybrids when you have completely human-looking beings that I think are actually not us. And there's a number of these stories that I have come across. So I don't really see the logic of an alien hybrid, unless maybe it's a different alien species. Who knows is doing that? I mean, anything's possible in this thing. We're still pressing our face against the glass into a dark room, and we can't really see everything. But I think one reason that there are persons of interest, I want to get back to that, is that it seems to me that a key dimension, a key aspect of the UFO phenomenon is that these other beings have some sort of mastery over space-time itself. And I know this is getting real science fiction-y for some people, but we have to remind ourselves that our own contemporary physics is showing us that our common sense notions of what is space and what is time really don't apply anyway. And that these other beings, if you go through the research, you go through the reports, they do seem to have a way of manipulating space and time in ways that ordinarily we can't. Moreover, that there is an important telepathic connection that some of these beings are able to have with some of us. You get this again and again and again. And I will just share with you, I've told this from time to time, but not frequently, I myself had two UFO sightings in my life where I felt that the object or whatever it was somehow got into my head. I absolutely feel that way. It wasn't a clear conscious thing. On one occasion, I was simply walking with my family, and I said, "Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we looked up and saw a UFO?" And Shazam, there it was, something zooming across the sky. What are the odds? And it went behind a very thin patch of clouds, and it never came out from behind that cloud. My daughter, who was very young at the time, got a little nervous. I had another experience where I was watching this intensely bright object in the sky right where I live in Rochester, New York. And I had this crazy idea that if I turned away from this object, even for an instant, I would never see it again. It was an idea that made no sense. There was nowhere for this thing to hide. And yet for about 1 second, I turned away, and sure enough, it was gone. Crazy, 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 crazy. So I think that I'm getting back to this persons of interest thing here. There is a telepathic connection to these sightings. There have been so many UFO reports where a person will say, kind of like what I just said, I felt that this thing was responding to my thoughts and so forth. So what that means is that if you are someone of great psychic ability or gifts, it's my opinion that everyone's got some psychic ability and some are maybe kind of not that great, and others are real virtuosos with it. So if you were really excellent, you might be someone that they'd be interested in studying for whatever reason. And that would include by black budget people too, because they would know that a true understanding of psi phenomena is necessary for truly understanding this this UFO phenomenon. This has been a conclusion, by the way, that the intelligence community came to back in the 1950s. They understood that the mental aspects of UFOs, that's the words that they use, were key. And so it's my own theory that some of these individuals who are taken because they probably have psychic gifts.
Is there some kind of psychic defense that people have been ever able to put up to prevent themselves from being abducted?
There are people who claim that there are certain ways to defend yourselves against abduction. I have personally never encountered what I feel is truly persuasive evidence that this is possible. That's my opinion. There are Christians, a very large subgroup in the abduction research field are, let's say, Christian evangelicals. Surprising, because you'd think Christians would just look at all of the UFO phenomenon as either imaginary or as demonic. And actually, many of them look at it as demonic. That's their opinion. And it is also their contention that invoking the name of Jesus Christ will prevent the abduction. This is not my opinion, but whatever works for you. So if it happens to work for you, I do think that what may be the case at times is that if you're dealing with what is ultimately a spiritual encounter, and some people believe that's really what's happening with abductions, then a very strongly held spiritual belief that tries to banish them, whether it's Christian or anything else, that maybe that's what's working. Again,
does that mean that
we don't really know the answers?
I wonder if aliens are actually part psychic themselves, and indeed actually have very similar stimuli, and indeed can be caused pain by human beings thinking certain things or saying certain words or whatever, you know. I wonder if anybody's ever made an alien laugh for that matter, you know. Tell them a joke, you know. Hey, bro, how do you patch up your broken spaceships? With abduct tape. We'll be right back after the break.